Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast.
One thing's for sure, we didn't lose this week.
Yeah.
Because right. Guess what? Now, I mean, we still have to talk about a loss because we took a bye right along with the Browns. But, if you want to add insult to injury, you know, we had to go into a bye with a loss, a blowout loss to the Ravens. Did anybody catch the 49ers game? I'm watching that game and I'm saying, oh my God, we're going to get the shit kicked out of us.
Yeah, man. I had a bet that Kittle and CD Lamb both get touchdowns apiece. Kittle won better. CD Lamb got nothing. I could have won.
Well, if he was going to do a prop bet on the 49ers and it had to do with scoring, it should have had Christian McCaffrey's name attached to it.
Yep, Kittle got 3 touchdowns, too.
Okay. But CD Lamb let you down.
Yep, Dallas Cowboys. I was amazed. I thought the San Francisco 49ers would win, but I didn't think Dallas would win.
Well, guys, as we do, we start somewhere. And let's quickly just go over the fucking debacle stats. The Browns, on the 1st of October, started the month off by shitting their pants in public.
Yeah.
And listen. You're starting Dorian Thompson-Robinson, okay? Rookie quarterback, okay? Who looked, favorably impressive in the preseason, but again, it was against second and third teams. But you would think, starting a rookie, you're gonna run the ball and you're gonna have balance, right? 36 pass attempts, 25 rushing attempts. Elijah Moore, and thank God the Browns have announced this during the off week that they're moving away from Elijah Moore out of the backfield. Okay, good, because it's got you nothing. Elijah Moore had 1 carry for minus 20 yards. Okay,
running back runs were only, I think, 9 times. Out of that 25.
Well, the primary running back, Jerome Ford, ran 9 times. Okay. And get this, and here's my argument. I'll say this. You guys can tell me whether you agree or not, but Pierre Strong should be the lead back. 5 rushes for 49 yards, an average of 9.8 a carry. Jerome Ford, 9 carries for 26 yards, 2.9 a carry.
And why are they using Kareem Hunt so limitedly?
Well, they gave him 5 carries. He got 12 yards for 2.4 a carry. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, but the blocking, the line blocking
okay,
is horrible.
Okay, but Pierre Strong manages to get better than that. Okay? Pierre Strong needs to be the lead back in this backfield right now. Sorry.
1 game performance, though?
No, the previous game. I can go back and I can read you the stats, but he had better stats than Jerome Ford the previous game.
Okay.
Jerome Ford is not the answer. Why he was number 2 behind Nick Chubb, I'll never know. And it makes you wonder why we got rid of D'Ernest Johnson.
Right.
Honest.
Absolutely. I think anyway, it was some of the salary.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson, 19 of 36 for 121 yards, no touchdowns, 3 picks for an overall quarterback rating of 25.3. Stack that against. Now, listen to this. You want to see what wins a game? The Ravens rushed 33 times and passed the ball only 19. Lamar Jackson was 15 of 19 for 186 yards and two touchdowns. Now, I'll grant you, one of those touchdowns was a little bit easy because you, if you spot him at the fucking 20, okay.
Wow, those DTR stats aren't unlike Dak Prescott with the San Francisco 49ers loss.
Yeah, but the Browns had 13 total first downs, the Ravens 16. The Browns held the Ravens to only 33.3% third down efficiency, except they were only 25%. Both teams were 100% on fourth down. Tried one, made one.
Okay.
Okay, the stats to kill you. Goal-to-goal efficiency. Ravens were 2 for 2. Well, the Browns were 0 for 0 because they never were there. And red zone efficiency, the Ravens were 4 for 4. The Browns, 0 for 2. They were in the red zone twice. And what did they do? They turned the ball over both of those times, so you don't have to ask. Anyway, time of possession, the Browns had it more than the Ravens, but it didn't matter. 30 minutes and 10 seconds to 29 minutes and 50 seconds. And that 20-second difference didn't help a damn bit. The final score was, what was the final score on that goddamn game? 28-3. And right, it wasn't that close.
And I think we sacked Lamar Jackson twice or three times, right?
I don't care, but yeah, okay, I'll buy that. Yeah, Tomlinson had a half a sack. Elliott had a half a sack. Okay. Looks like we had a total of 3 sacks. Miles Garrett had one. Okoronkwo had one.
That was a hard game to watch.
Yeah, it was. And here's the thing. A lot of people, you know, come up and say, well, I thought the defense was good. The defense was good. Well, okay. Good defenses get off the field quickly. Right. When you keep them on the field for a long time, they don't look so good no more. Because they're used to getting off the field. And the Ravens put their head down and kept running that ball, even though they were getting stopped. And eventually they broke through.
Yep.
That's not what the Browns do. They go, Elijah Moore out of the backfield.
There we go, baby. That's the way to do it.
And that's like Metcalf up the middle, but not as effective.
Yeah, right.
Not near. But anyway, you know, having said that, you come out of the bye week and you're thinking, okay, now now it's time for some good news. Deshaun's looking good. He's got his shit back together. But on Monday, Deshaun doesn't look better. He's not spotted with the team at all. And the word given to the press by the Browns is that, well, he's practicing inside. Well, yeah, but the rest of the team's outside. Who's he fucking practicing with? Wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? And then later in the day, Kevin Stefanski has a press conference and being asked about Deshaun, and all of a sudden, well, he's day to day. He's day to day. What the fuck? Now, it's amazing how serious they're taking this shoulder injury when they just trashed our fucking quarterback that we had in 21, made him play with a shoulder injury.
Right. They're saying there's a difference between medically cleared and functionally cleared.
Okay. Except that Kevin Stefanski and... oh, come on. Help me with the general manager's name.
Andrew Berry.
Yeah, and Berry are literally talking out of two sides of the same neck here. Kevin Stefanski said he's medically cleared to play. It was Deshaun's decision not to go. Andrew Berry says, no, it was consensus. We all decided he shouldn't go.
Yeah, I don't think he said directly in those words. I think that was inferred by what he said.
No, Kevin Stefanski said that exactly.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. I can play you the press conference, Hugh. He said that he was medically cleared to play. It was Deshaun's decision not to go.
And he also said that he was watching him and he couldn't drive the ball down the field. He could only throw it 10 yards.
Hugh? But that doesn't change the fact that he said the words that I just told you too, which the very next day, the general manager has a press conference and contradicts that statement.
I think it's a collective decision.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying that, okay, I'm telling you that you're getting told two different things by two different people who are allegedly on the same page.
I just think it's being blown out of proportion.
The only way it's being blown out of proportion is if Deshaun Watson plays on Sunday.
Okay, I'll comment on that. I don't think it's being blown out of proportion. If it's two people and they supposedly group made the decision and that's the undercover, we want the happy story we want to get from it. Well, then you say the same thing. If I'm going to jail with my partner, you know what I mean? And we both know we were about to go. I would hope we've been smart enough before then to, you know, kind of like go, hey, I'm saying this. If we're saying different things, the first thing a detective or a cop is thinking is, okay, we can go in on these two because they don't know what information to keep secret and whatnot.
What if the injury is more serious than they're letting on because of how much they paid him?
But does that matter? Okay, well, let me ask you, does it matter though? If the injury is serious and they're both saying two different things, that still means they're not on the same page. You can only get bad out of this that the quarterback and the coach aren't on the same page of saying the same things.
Maybe Kevin missed the memo.
I'm not surprised. Okay, here's an article, guys, and we can use this to trigger some discussion. Terry Pluto, if day to day Deshaun Watson can't play, what should the Browns do? As usual, Kevin Stefanski was annoyingly vague when it came to discussing the health of Deshaun Watson. Like all of us, Watson is day-to-day as the Browns prepare to face San Francisco at the Browns Stadium on Sunday. As the coach knows, the Browns don't have to reveal an injury list until Wednesday. Therefore, Watson or any other player can be abducted by Martians and hauled to a galaxy far, far away, and the team can say he's day-to-day, at least early in the week. It's not just the Browns. Most teams play this word game. Everything is a secret in the NFL. They can list Watson as questionable on Wednesday, and he'd still be in day-to-day land. My guess is that's what will happen. Watson sustained what appears to be a severe bruise on his right throwing shoulder in the Browns' 27-3 victory over the Tennessee Titans on September 24th. That's the last time he has been able to play. Watson didn't practice the week before the Browns' 28-3 loss to Baltimore on October 1st. GM Andrew Berry said Watson could barely lift his arm and his throws had little velocity before that game. Watson had the bye week to rest and receive treatment on his shoulder when the Browns came back for practice on Monday. Watson was not on the field. He was working out or receiving treatment in the practice facility's field house. Since opening day of 2018, Watson has been eligible to play in 57 games. He had missed only one due to injury before the October 1st Baltimore game. Watson plays hurt. His durability is one of the traits that attracted the Browns to pursuing him in the mega trade with Houston. So when Watson doesn't play, the reason is obvious. He has some type of significant injury. It's been 16 days since the Titans game, and he hasn't taken part in a full practice. That's a reason for concern, even if the Browns are correct when they say his arm has sustained no structural damage. I'm not a big fan of Watson for a variety of reasons, but I refuse to question his toughness or desire to play. His history says otherwise. As for the extent of his injury, who knows? Maybe we'll learn more later in the week. But it's more than 2 weeks since he practiced, and 5-0 San Francisco comes to town on Sunday. They cannot start DTR on Sunday. One of the reasons the Browns traded Joshua Dobbs to Arizona is because they believed they'd be able to acquire a veteran backup. That turned out to be P.J. Walker. Dorian Thompson-Robinson started the loss to Baltimore in place of Watson. The fifth-round rookie from UCLA was overwhelmed. He wasn't helped by the absence of star running back Nick Chubb and a strange pass-heavy game plan from Stefanski. And really strange, because even if Watson had played with a bruised shoulder, are you going to go pass-heavy?
No.
No. So what the fuck was that?
Look, all I'm saying is it's quite possible he had the story doesn't sound wrong. If he had a bruise in the wrong spot on a bone, you know, right on the cuffs, the edge of a bone or something, there ain't nothing you can do about that. That is an injury that's going to prevent you from doing anything. I mean, you could be Aaron Rodgers out there. I'm going to do it. But if that bruise is in the wrong spot, then you ain't doing it.
But Stefanski still got to call a complimentary game to his defense.
But this was going to be my point of the podcast with Watson. Okay. How do we know at this point all Stefanski did with the last game and how he called it? Okay. And this is the history of Stefanski with us. He makes you ask questions about everything because he just calls a game and you're like, why? Okay, so only thing he posed is that as good as we've seen, Watson has been making this offense look, and it's messed up, we're saying it's been making it seem look good, okay? Because look, now, on all intents and purposes, last year, the quarterback we had last year made it look better. I don't know why I can't conjure his name up right now.
Brissett
made it look better. Brissett put up some really good numbers at times. Okay, he has some shaky games, but he put up some really good numbers at times. But what this has you thinking is like, but would it have been better if there was a better offense? Because right now, as bad as that offense looked, right? DTR is a rookie, okay? And in most people who thought, oh, he looked so good. Well, there's guys all around the league that start for teams as a rookie that looked good in preseason and looked like trash in regular season. Okay, but... the offense looks so bad. How do we know Watson's not being held back by the offense right now?
Well, no, that's not my point. My point is first series. Okay. Browns took the ball at 12:40 with 12:42 on the clock. They handed the ball to Jerome Ford.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me make the point. Next two plays, shotgun. Passes. Pass. First series, they ran the ball one time. And of course, that series ended in an interception. Okay? They ran the ball one time next. It got 7 yards. And then immediately go to a pass, incomplete, deep middle, to Amari Cooper.
I think Stefanski, number one, there's 2 points I'm going to make. In spurts, we have already seen him doing the same thing with Watson in. Okay, it's just not as noticeable because it was somewhat working because Watson was making it work. Okay, two, Stefanski probably felt like he had a point to make last game, and he always feels like he has a point to make that my offense does not suck. It can work with anyone, and obviously it cannot because every time he does it, it does not work.
Right, it's okay, but this is what I'm saying, and so. Healthy Deshaun, unhealthy Deshaun, it doesn't matter as long as you got Bozo calling plays.
So there's one thing that has been predicted true. Everybody was like, when we got Watson, they were like, just wait for Stefanski to get Watson. That's going to be his new toy. That's what's going to make it work. I'm going to be honest. If Watson gets to the point he's playing even somewhat like he did in our third game, then the point will be right, okay, because he played really good, okay? But it's probably the one really good game so far he's had as a Browns. If he even plays, you know,
I just want to mention
80% of that. Just let me finish. If he even plays 80% of that, you're right. He will be the one that sparked up Stefanski's offense. But what is that really saying at this point? Okay? Because who else has sparked up Stefanski's offense that made you go, wow?
Baker Mayfield. So,
Exactly.
Weren't we supposed to be running this year a hybrid of the run and shoot offense called something?
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Don't complicate it, guys.
That talk. We're air raiding this.
The Red Raider offense. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Don't complicate it, guys. Okay. Don't. Yes. We don't need any more on these guys' plates. Don't just Stop. Anyway, but all I'm saying is you go look at the play sequences, okay, of every possession the Browns had. And listen, the loss of Jack Conklin is enormous.
Oh, but
more important than the loss of Jack Conklin is the loss of a step or two, it appears, by Joel Bitonio, who is looking like absolute trash at the guard. Okay.
He was walking out of the facility on crutches the last time he walked out.
I understand. Okay. And then Pochick, he's beat up. And Jedrick Wills really is trash.
And Jedrick Wills is just, they need to get rid of him like yesterday.
Well, wait a minute. Why aren't you making excuses for Jedrick Wills the way you do for Deshaun Watson?
No, because Don Jedrick Wills has been with the team a lot longer. He should be better.
And he's protected quarterbacks. Listen, the guy, go look at his Pro Football Focus score for last season. He was one of the highest rated left tackles in the fucking league.
So what's going on?
Well, you're telling me he's always been trash, you.
No, I'm saying... Yeah, man. No, dude, he's never been.
Okay, he's never been, but I'm telling you, he grades out as one of the better left tackles in the league. Last year, he was in the top five.
Okay. Yeah, I don't believe that, but okay.
Okay, go look it up. Don't believe me. Pro Football Focus, just go look it up.
Browns might be going to Denver to get somebody to replace him. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, they need to get somebody to do something on this offensive line, because here we go. We're coming into the season and we're being told we got one of the best offensive lines in football.
And not anymore.
But the only guy that's out from the starting lineup is Jack Conklin.
Hmm. And I'm sorry. I love Jones. What's his name? DeJuan Jones?
Yeah, he's doing great over at right tackle.
Yeah.
Can he play left tackle?
So do we miss?
Okay, Jedrick Wills ranks from what I can see here from last season were 71st in run blocking, 58th in pass block.
Any seepage on the line is, well, I mean, I'll just say this. When I was looking at the game, our run blocking was horrible. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, okay.
And the run blocking's the easy stuff.
Okay, look at this. What I'm telling you is this. For forever, and I've had some epic conversations with certain people about the Chubb and the run blocking, and the run blocking's the only reason why Chubb's is any good. Okay, well, this season has obviously showed the opposite, because Chubb was running like a beast, okay, before he went down. The same line has been there, and they have looked, they're not a Denver or Dallas line where you can just plug any guy in and get 1,000 yards. That's for sure, because it's not working, okay?
Did you see how good San Francisco's offensive line is? Holy shit.
I'm telling you guys, we are poised to get the shit kicked out of us on Sunday.
Well, look at it. McCaffrey is a good back. Everybody knew that before he went there, right? You took McCaffrey and put him on a team with an elite offensive line, okay? Now he's just running amok, okay? Right now, the way the Browns' offensive line is looking, I'm wondering how much they're holding Chubb back, because Chubb was just chugging up yards before he went down, they can't get a guy through a hole.
Here's an interesting point, though, guys. Do you know, as well as the Brown defense had played, you know, through the first 3 weeks of this season, okay? Because, I mean, you really can't give them week four. Even though they were out there longer than they should have been, you know, they gave up the yards, the points, okay? But the Browns have not. I mean, they are woefully behind on the turnover battle.
Oh yeah, that's the one point. Even though however good they are, is they're behind in the turnover battle. That's
the way I see it. Come Sunday against the 49ers, the Browns' only shot at winning is to have an epic defense day where the defense actually scores
and causes turnovers. Yeah.
No, well they're gonna if the defense scores. Turnover is inferred. Okay. Defense can't score because unless they take the ball, Okay. Because they don't start with the ball. It's not looking good for the home team, boys.
No, not really. Oh, the only thing I can say is that you're still going to be a little sore from playing Dallas. They got a short week. Or not, well, not a short week, but, you know, less than us. Mm-hmm. It's going to be cold and rainy. And mm-hmm. they're coming off of a win, which seemingly would make them less motivated than coming off of a loss.
Ah.
And they'll take us lightly, and then we'll surprise them.
Okay, well, I hope that works out. The Orange and Brown Report had an interesting article by Barry McBride. Cleveland Browns morning news from 10:10. That's today. An inside quarterback and a respite from madness. Good morning, Cleveland Browns fans. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. I've been at this for 25 years or more, after all. And it did happen. Honestly, though, I'm not sure I've ever seen it this bad. The Browns' total collapse against the Baltimore Ravens, precipitated by the sudden loss of quarterback Deshaun Watson and the resulting offensive collapse, led us Browns fans into this week on a very down note. This week being bye week, okay? It didn't matter that Watson and the Browns' offense had the best week of the quarterback's tenure the week before. It never does. What matters is what happened last and the impression that leaves in our minds. The impressions, fair or not, were unfavorable. A quarterback who, despite a reputation for toughness, wouldn't play despite being medically cleared. A head coach, play caller, who didn't appear to adapt to the rookie who was inserted in as the starter. A defense, unstoppable until this particular game, who had been exposed by a running back and an offense given a chance after chance to find a groove. A running game that was lackluster and ineffective, led by an offensive line that suddenly had degraded to below average. These impressions, fair or not, are what Browns fans are left with after watching their team get dominated 28-3 by the Ravens. I've held that the situation isn't as bad as it looked. As one misfiring cylinder, in this case the passing game, can lead to a cascading effect that makes everything look awful. Going into the bye week with a seemingly unstoppable opponent heading into town, though, Browns fans turned away in droves. Many simply waved their hands in dismissal at the Browns and went away and did other things. Our numbers showed it. This article did less than a third of what it normally does in readership over the last week. And I'm pretty sure my writing sucked at its normal level. Okay. Overall traffic fell to off-season, mid-June levels. It was extraordinary, even for a bye week. Part of it is the emotional roller coaster of the 2023 season. The team's highs have been very high. Its lows are very low. It's already exhausting. People can't be blamed for wanting a break. 24 years of futility play a role as well, as there's a strong here-we-go-again factor at play when a rival comes into town and clobbers the home team. To some degree, the Niners game is a bit of an inflection point. The Browns could easily roll over and play dead, particularly if Watson and Joel Bitonio miss the game, and this despondency could accelerate. Or they could surprise, perhaps by not beating the Niners juggernaut, but by making it a more competitive game than expected. And fans' enthusiasm could be revived heading into the part of the schedule where games will be winnable, if still tough. I expect the Browns to bounce back. Teams are rarely as bad as they look in a game like the one against the Ravens. I'm not sure I expect them to win against this tough Niners team, but I expect a better, more competitive game against a very good opponent. I wouldn't be surprised if they're beaten soundly, but I wouldn't be surprised if the game is more competitive than expected either. Come what may, this Sunday's game will provide us a respite from the madness this world is descending into. Win or lose, for me, that will be enough. Have a good one, go Browns. I don't know if that'll be enough, because I'll be honest with you. It's 24 years of futility. I think an ill-conceived trade to get a quarterback at the level that we want. We want a guy who can play at top five level. We want that. We want that. Every team wants that. But to take a guy who took, by the way, the Buccaneers were off this week too. So at least Baker Mayfield couldn't rub salt in this wound this week. Right?
Right.
But I'm telling you, dude, the dude is looking good. He's looking like he actually knows how to play the position of quarterback. I'm just saying.
He's obviously got some experience under his belt, and he's learning. It to me, is just what Drew Brees said. It takes some quarterbacks time to get down the footwork, the reading.
Hold on. Baker Mayfield had the footwork, the reading, and all that. Baker Mayfield had a hurt shoulder and shouldn't have been being played.
This was in 2020. Drew Brees said this
when in 2020, Baker Mayfield took the Browns to the playoffs.
I understand that, but still, listen, man. I'm just telling you. A lot of pundits still had issues with Baker, and Drew Brees was coming out defending him and saying this.
But Browns fans didn't. Browns fans didn't in 2020. The team didn't in 2020. In 2021, Baker Mayfield ill-advisedly attempted to make a fucking tackle. Okay. But it doesn't matter. Fuck Drew Brees and what he has to say. Fuck Drew Brees.
That problem that Baker had was seeing the lanes through the blind spots. He always had that.
No. In 2020, Baker Mayfield did not have that problem. Dude, the Browns went 11-5 to the playoffs and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh.
I didn't say that didn't happen.
Okay.
But all that couldn't have happened
if Baker Mayfield was having all the problems you described.
Okay, we're looking back. Okay,
talking about all the problems that he had.
Okay. If we look back, okay, you want to know honestly the people that are going to be right if this keeps shaping up the way it is? It's not going to be people talking about Baker wasn't that bad. Baker was bad, blah, blah, blah. Baker was bad. Baker was playing injured. Baker could have looked better, but Baker was going to be bad no matter what. He could have played good enough to get us to the playoffs, possibly, but who knows? Well, the people who are going to be right is the play calling sucks.
Well, that's true. The one thing that's been consistent, even in the year we went to the playoffs, and you know what?
And
maybe we win that game in Pittsburgh because Kevin Stefanski was home with COVID and wasn't calling a fucking play.
I just don't understand why the play calling hasn't been taken away from him. What is going on? What kind of a hold does Stefanski have over this playbook?
He's the head coach.
If you take it away from me, I'll walk.
He's the head coach. I mean, there's nothing more to say about it. He's the head coach. So if he's the head coach and he's basically like, I'm going to call the plays. Well, then at this point, you want that to change and you feel like that's the main thing holding this team back. Then you got to get rid of the head coach. I'm going to make a point. At some point, I was going to point this out. Okay. I think now is a good point too, because I think we've said enough about everything that I can segue into how I feel about last week.
One quick thing, Jeff. Van Pelt proved already in several games that he's a better play caller. Okay, go ahead.
I don't care about what Van Pelt proved. If Van Pelt isn't a man of stature enough for him, his play calling to rise to the top and be the thing that makes the front office crush him, then screw him too. He needs to go with him, and they need to get a guy in that will do the right thing. Now, my point I'm going to make is there's a guy who's going to be starting his XFL career here. He may have already here. Not an XFL watcher. But Greg Williams will be starting his coaching career in the XFL. And I'm sure if the Browns need a mid-season coaching change, he may be up to coming to the NFL and head coaching a team that he probably should have already been offered the job for,
he's a
long time ago. I don't give a hell if he was a special teams mind.
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to say that if he's defensive, then we don't have to worry about him calling offensive plays.
Oh, that's great. That's great. What I'm saying is at this point, if the offense keeps moving like this, if they go a whole nother season and they don't go to the playoffs with this talent and they keep Kevin Stefanski, then when they lose all the hype that they have, this team has gained from the fans and the city of being excited, this team possibly being good, they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
When they have empty stands, they'll deserve those empty stands because there's absolutely zero reason. We lose this next game. If we go to San Francisco, I don't care how good San Francisco is. This team is paying a quarterback like he's the best quarterback in the freaking league. San Francisco's
coming to us, guys.
Okay, they're coming to us. Right. We're paying a quarterback like they're the best quarterback in the freaking league. We have freaking names all over our freaking team. Okay. On paper, we're supposed to be acting like at least we're talking about a Super Bowl.
So I got a question.
If we lose next game, it better be like, you know, last minute drive, loss, something. Something's got to happen because if we get killed next game by the team that looks like they're the most contender, I think that's when you exit Kevin out of here to try to save the season.
By 3 points, we're cool. But if we lose by more than that, Kevin's more on the hot seat.
Even at 3 points, I think you still have to contemplate he's out next game if they lose it to save the season.
Mm. Okay. And I want to illustrate a point I was making to you guys earlier, okay? And this was press conferences after the game, the Monday press conference by Kevin Stefanski. These were his words. Yes, Watson was medically cleared to play. And if he would have said, I'm good, he would have played. The next day, Andrew Berry. It became a very easy decision for us not to put Watson out there. Now, are those two different things or are those two different things?
I think that there's a lot of inference going on.
No. Dude, there's nothing inferred about these words. Yes.
Watson. It was Deshaun's decision not to play.
Yes. Watson, these were Kevin Stefanski's words. Yes. Watson was medically cleared to play. And if he would have said, I'm good, he would have played. Okay, the next day, Andrew Berry says, it became a very easy decision for us not to put Watson out there. Those are two entirely different takes on the same thing by two guys that are supposed to be on the same page.
But what I'm saying is they saw how he was throwing the ball, and you don't know this guy's pain tolerance or not. We don't know the severity of
I'm not talking about Deshaun Watson's pain. I'm talking about the fucking head coach and the general manager not being on the same fucking page.
You know what? I think it's just Kevin. I think he just chose the wrong words.
No. Those weren't wrongly chosen words. Those were words spoken specifically out of his mouth to say the specific thing he said.
And I think, and what I'm thinking is that he chose the wrong words. It was a fumble. Boom.
Quit making excuses for this fuck.
No. All I'm saying is it's way blown out of proportion.
It's not. When your head coach says he was medically cleared and if he said I can go, he would have went. And the next day, the general manager comes out and basically says, we decided not to play him. That is not the same thing.
I will tell you, you know what that sounds like? I'll tell you exactly what it sounds like. You got Watson, didn't play, right? Okay. You have your coach covering his ass for the game. Okay. Saying, right. Hey, look, Watson could have gone. He didn't. But, you know, good that old boy. And if we lose, it ain't my fault because he didn't play. Okay. In the front office going, hey, they're the ones that did what they were supposed to and covered the whole situation and said, hey, we didn't want him to play. I'm now the bad thing in that, and all the he didn't know what to, how many times in Kevin Stefanski's career with the Browns is he going to say something that didn't coincide with what somebody else was saying, and we're all going to keep going, well, I mean, they just weren't on the same page, that happened. So how many times are you going to do that? If I look around the other teams in the league, I'm pretty sure they don't consistently do this every other week. Somebody says something and somebody else didn't know that, and then they're all not on the same page.
Well, you know, if that's the case, and we're going to go with that narrative, I wish somebody in the press in Cleveland would call him on it and say, this is what you said. Andrew Berry said this. What do you say about that? And get it over with. Like, it's like, God.
Well, what I'm saying now, wait. This guy goes on in this article. I just want you guys to hear this. Watson was brought in to replace former first round overall pick Baker Mayfield, who once told reporters in 2019 when he had an injured shoulder, mama didn't raise a wuss. Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield did not throw as part of a limited participation in Wednesday's practice, but he is confident he will play against the Bengals despite his hand injury. Mama didn't raise a wuss. And he went and we beat the Bengals. Okay? I'm just saying, the optics here suck. Okay?
I'm going to
you
tell
can
you,
say it's I not said, well, it's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like, but it looks like that.
I'm going to tell you something. I said, no, stop. This is definitely my time, because I said this on the podcast during the season when Baker was injured. I said, if you do this, you set the precedent for the next time there's a quarterback in this situation, they're not going to trust you.
And that's
so exactly. If you were Watson right now and you had a somewhat of an injury to your throwing hand and you were, am I going to play good? What is kind of, would you play knowing what they did to Baker?
No. Hell okay, no.
Well, then there you go. The Browns created that situation.
That's what I'm thinking. So Kevin has, forgive me here because I'm not trying to condone or support him, but maybe Kevin learned, said, okay, you know what?
No, Kevin didn't learn shit. He told you he'd have played Watson. If Watson had said okay, I'd have put him in.
Most teams in the league would have, but most of the teams in the league wouldn't have took their starter quarterback. He was injured and then blamed the season on him and got rid of him after it.
No, exactly. Well,
the Browns did that. The Browns have to own that. I remember we did a podcast and I said those exact things. Regardless of what you think about Baker, if you do this, you set a tone to where any quarterback that looks at you in the league and they're in that situation, they're going, I ain't going to do that on the Browns. That's the Browns' fault. You can't do that to a quarterback, then expect another guy to
a $230 million man who, if he gets a hangnail, is going to say, fuck that shit.
So I've heard a lot of people talking on various radio shows and YouTube and shit like that, that, and again, bear with me here, that medically cleared doesn't necessarily mean can play or should play.
No. Okay. Take this for example. I said, if I took a bruise and I had it on my thigh, right? And I took that same level of bruise and put it on my elbow, which one hurt? Which one's more daunting to me playing?
Your elbow.
Okay. I could be medically cleared for both of those because the bruise is playable.
Right. And listen, I'll be the first guy to tell you, bruises are real and they can literally incapacitate you. When I was a child, I got hit by a car. No broken bones, just a bruise. I couldn't walk for a week.
Yeah, dude, I'm just saying, man, you get a deep bruise.
Well, so I'm not questioning Deshaun Watson's manhood. I'm questioning a head coach who apparently thought throwing his quarterback under the bus was a good thing. Okay. And then his general manager comes out the next day and tries to correct that shit. Okay. I'm talking about a head coach who can't pull his head out of his ass to call a game commensurate with the level of expertise he has on the field. Right. You know, with the kind of defense that the Browns are pitching, all you got to do is get a couple first down and play field position. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not what we did.
No, we didn't. And we're not. And yeah.
And that's all on Kevin Stefanski.
I mean, you can't expect to run this supposed, I can't remember the name of it again, that this hybrid of this run and shoot offense and not run the ball a lot. I just don't understand, man. It's just like,
okay, all I'm going to say, there's nothing air raid about this. And
yeah,
I've seen the air raid offense and this is not.
No, I'm interested in, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. This is the truth, and I really do think this. If you took this situation the Browns have and Kevin Stefanski and put it on any other freaking team, they'd be asking why was Kevin Stefanski? Why all the excuses being made, what's not being pointed out? Why is he always not on the same page as his quarterback and the front office?
Hmm.
Every time there's a situation where something is said, they're always not on the same freaking page. I said it. I also said this during the season with Baker Mayfield, and I'm not saying insinuating there is or isn't, but the whole vibe of everything every time this happens almost gives the vibe like Kevin's got someone by the balls or something, and that's why he's there. I mean, I'm not joking. He does things that other things other coaches get ripped for.
Yeah, what does he have over anybody? I mean, like, that was why I am so surprised that play calling hasn't been taken away from him yet.
He does things other coaches get ripped for. And it's like, we don't hear anything about the ripping. Like he doesn't like, it's just like, oh, Kevin did that.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I bemoaned the fact that in his rookie season, okay, he takes the Browns to the playoffs. Okay. And we get coach of the year. And ever since
coach of the year. Probably the worst thing that ever could have happened.
Dude, yeah. Brock Purdy posted a 144.4 quarterback rating against the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
They ran the ball 41 fucking times for 170 yards. You would think, and listen, the Dallas Cowboys effectively shut Christian McCaffrey down, held him to only 51 yards, 2.7 a carry. So who do they have step up? Mason, who gets 10 carries for 69 yards at 6.9 a carry.
Wow.
And Deebo Samuel gets 5 for 30 yards at 6 a carry. So they're going to get you. And listen, Brock Purdy looks like the truth. Now, would he look like that on a team other than the Niners? Probably not.
Well, he's got great protection, but he looks so comfortable back there.
Right. But you do know that Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. He was the last guy picked in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't like Kyle Shanahan. I don't like Kyle Shanahan mostly because of... And by the way, speaking of that, you know, when Kyle Shanahan was here in Cleveland, offensive coordinator, you know who was on his staff, right?
No.
Mike McDonald.
Who?
The coach of the Dolphins. Mike McDaniels. No. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Mike McDaniels was being interviewed. And I don't know whose podcast it was on, but he's on a podcast and he's talking about Johnny Manziel, who basically Kyle Shanahan, you remember Kyle Shanahan and them, they left. Him and his entire offensive coordinating staff left. Okay.
Wow.
They left because in protest to the fact of Johnny Manziel. Okay. They said, no, we're not coming back next year. You better get somebody else.
Right.
He said he attested to the fact, you know, because Johnny Manziel in the Netflix documentary that he's in, I can't remember the name of the show, but he said he never watched any game film. And he said, yeah, that's how much he watched, 0%. He never watched game film. He didn't look at the playbook. He didn't do anything. He said it was a
so those rumors joke. Were correct.
Those oh, rumors and were look, true.
You know what's interesting about the Johnny Manziel thing? And I always say, because I remember I watched at least one game, it was like, dang, the zip on the ball, all those things. If that thing is true that he's not watching film, then it's a freaking waste. Because he's, for the stature he is, he has like all the things to make that stature not matter.
Mm.
He really did. But if those are all true, and that's, I guess, what keeps yeah. being echoed is it was true, is that he made that the fact that he look, let's be honest, Johnny Manziel, even to this day, if you took what some rookie quarterbacks look like on their rookie games, he looked better. And he did it without watching film at all, ever. That right there is like, now, dang, this, well, if he'd have just, you know.
Was this just in the NFL that he did this, or did he also? No,
he did that in college, too.
Holy shit, dude. He was just flying by the seat of his pants.
Right. He was getting drunk and holding big stacks of cash up to his head like it was a cell phone. And that's it. That's Johnny. Here's Johnny. Anyway.
Do we think that this can, with a very admirable performance, win or lose, go on and make the playoffs?
Here's the thing. There's only one way. No. There's only one way that we start out 2-3 and we end up going to the playoffs. Okay. And that's if Deshaun Watson plays on Sunday and plays respectably, but we just lose anyway because the 49ers. But listen to me. Listen to me good. Deshaun Watson playing for this Browns team consistently on a week-in, week-out basis is key to them making the playoffs.
Yes, yes, it is.
Okay, if you don't have Deshaun Watson under center every game, you don't, that's probably a loss.
I would tell you this.
Given the fact that you're going to have some losses anyway, even with him in there, you just, right. You're not getting out of the division, Hugh, if you have more than five losses.
And we've already lost two divisional games. So
we've already lost two divisional games.
I will tell you this. Here's my opinion on the next game. The next game, if Deshaun plays, if they do not win, or at least lose in like a dramatic thing, we could have won that, we should have won that type of game, season's over. If he doesn't play and they lose it, the next game he does play, he has to come out, win the hell out of that game, look like the leader that he is, and then lead them to the playoffs. Listen. The first next loss they have with Watson at helm will be detrimental with what's already happened. And this is their big state. This is the biggest statement game of our schedule. Okay.
Well, not to mention this. Listen, think about this. And we hadn't even talked about this. What came out on Monday after the Stefanski press conference were reports from insiders who say, talking to team members of the Browns, that the team, the players, were upset with Watson by saying all week, I'm going to play Sunday, I'm going to play Sunday, I'm going to play Sunday, and at the last minute, not playing.
Yeah, but let's be honest, for all we know, he did that because he's like, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get better, and finally was like, yeah, I'm just not going to be able to do it.
Oh, no, and we know that happens, but what I'm saying is that yet and still, you can understand how team members would be upset with Deshaun. Okay. My understanding is that Deshaun had the opportunity to confront the situation with the team and talk to his teammates about the situation and declined to.
Hey guys, I just hope there's nothing worse, like hiding in the rafters going on that we don't know about that is beyond the injury.
There is speculation. There is speculation that this whole thing with Deshaun being day to day is just to throw the 49ers off in game planning.
I don't know.
I wish. I can only hope.
Well, yeah, but okay. So wait. if you're the 49ers, oh, well, Deshaun Watson's day to day. We need to plan for PJ Walker, or we need to plan for DTR. No, they're going to still game plan for Watson. Okay.
Whatever they game plan for Watson will trickle into the other two.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it would be just some stupid Kevin Stefanski type shit.
Yeah, but see, here's my thing with the Browns. You know what's bad about the Browns right now? Every time you hear something, somebody's like, oh, you know, it could just be this simple thing and it's or whatever. We end up finding out later it wasn't the simple thing. It was the thing that you thought was so bad. It was that bad thing. And it can't consistently keep happening and you not just sit there and go, yeah, it's not the simple thing. It's probably the real bad one.
Oh, I guarantee you, especially with Jimmy Haslam at the helm of all this shit, because every lousy decision that's ever been made about quarterback was made by him. We drafted Johnny Manziel because of him. We drafted Baker Mayfield because of him. Now, see, I honestly believe that Baker pissed somebody off. That we'll never know for real the reason why Baker's gone.
I know who he pissed off.
Who?
He was honest in his assessment of what he felt the offense was doing, and he pissed Kevin off.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he did
it the whole season. He was honest in hell in what he thought. Even if it was just small, snide remarks. I know exactly what happened with Baker. To me, it was easy as hell to see it. And then it was easy to see what Kevin was doing. Kevin was like, okay, smart mouth. Say stuff
well,
that
I'll
I told
say
you
this.
Not to, or we
if
don't
the
want
Browns
you,
don't I'm make the playoffs this there. Year, I want Kevin Stefanski fired.
But I'm saying, you could see what he did. Baker made remarks. Kevin didn't like them. Kevin, without blowing up in media and stating stuff about his quarterback, he said, okay, go out there and prove it. And he threw him to the wolves. Actually, in some cases, made it harder on him just to say, hey, go be prolific. Okay. And Baker couldn't do it. Not with the injury, at least. Okay. And that's what happened. But what I'm saying is that's not helping the team he's coaching. Okay. Now he's in a situation where, yeah, he has the quarterback that kind of made his offense look a little better here. Looks like he's coming to his own with it. But, I mean, the Browns
created a situation.
Sounds
to me like Kevin Stefanski is a petty man who is mortgaging the future of this franchise for his own personal ego.
That's why I've been saying it all smells in it. This is why I've been saying it all smells and it looks as if you got a guy who's basically got someone by the balls and he's there.
Would you do so with everything you and Paul are saying, do you think on FanDuel I shouldn't bet on the Browns?
My philosophy on betting is
unless
I
it's
bet
house
on
money. Okay.
My philosophy on betting is I bet on things I know I'm going to win.
Well, yeah, but if it's house money and the odds are real good, because imagine if you could put $5 on the Browns to win, right? I don't know what the odds on that would be, but it's goddamn like 50-1 probably. Okay. And it's house money. That means it's not your money. Yeah. You go ahead.
Different to me. That's different than deciding you're just going to bet though.
Yeah. That's what I said. The only way you bet any money on the Browns this week, if it's some fucking buddy else's money. Okay. I want you to hear what the Niners did to the Cowboys here. Total first downs, the Niners 25, the Cowboys 8. They held the Cowboys to 4 of 11 on third down, 36.4%, and converted 54.5%. They were, get this, you're going to love this. Red zone efficiency for the Cowboys, not. They didn't get there. The Niners were 4 of 5. Goal to go, they didn't get there, the Cowboys. The Niners, 2 for 2. Time of possession, listen to this, 37 minutes and 5 seconds to 22:55. I just hope that the defense comes out to go ahead and win a game, despite their offense. Because the defense could do it.
the spread is only 5.5.
Okay, but the Niners are 5.5 favorites on our home field. You get definitely. 3 points for the home field, dude, which means that the Niners are really 8.5 point favorites.
So when it says plus 5.5, that means the Browns are getting the points minus 5.5. Okay, I get it.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, the Browns are not favored to win this contest. don't what they say, don't get it twisted.
Well, let's go to I'm gonna go to DraftKings and see if I can get some house money.
Yeah, if you get some house money, man, do it. Of course, in Georgia, we can't gamble. Because in the state of Georgia, it's not legal to gamble on sports. Okay.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
It is a shame because I would be taking one of them deals where you get, you know, if you bet $5, we give you $300. Yeah, I was like,
yeah.
You know, nah.
Isn't this just so typical to be in a sort of a conundrum?
But again, only the Browns could in week fucking five be in this situation. Only the Browns.
It's like the browniest shit. What the fuck?
You thought the Jets had it bad too, didn't you, on that fourth play of the opening weekend when Aaron Rodgers went down for the season? You were like, man, that's some Brown shit. No, let me show you some Brown shit. Okay? Because here we were coming off a win over the fucking Titans with Deshaun Watson actually playing, looked like possibly toward his potential. And then turn it into what the fuck we got the next week. And now we got day-to-day Deshaun.
Hey, ESPN, 49ers have a 66.1% chance to beat the Browns. The Browns have a 33.6% chance to beat the 49ers.
Right. Yeah, nobody with a brain can look at what the 49ers have been doing. Keeping in mind that they traveled east on opening day and beat the Steelers in their own stadium.
Yeah, which is hard to do, no doubt.
The Steelers are in first place, y'all.
They defend
home. The fucking Steelers are in first place, guys.
Like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of fucking alternate universe crap is this?
It's not alternate universe. Listen to me. I know that you love your team, and I know that this defense is good, and I know that you have and have had high hopes for this season. But the Browns being in third place is the universe. The alternate universe is where the Browns are good, guys.
Did you expect the Ravens not to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers handily?
No. When I saw them fall apart at the end of that game, I was like, you're fucking kidding me. The Steelers are going to win this game.
Who
makes the play? Who makes the fucking play but TJ Watt?
I know. Yeah, right. You know, but when he took off his helmet, I want to ask you guys about this rule. He took off his helmet, 15-yard penalty. I felt like, shouldn't that have given them the first down at that point, the Ravens?
No, because they had turned the ball over.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had turned the ball over.
That's right. Okay.
He took his helmet off because he recovered the fucking fumble. I remember when we lost a game. I remember when the Browns lost a game, the first year they implemented that rule, Butch Davis was the coach. And who was the fucking defensive guy? He makes the fucking play and then he takes his helmet off and slams it on the ground. 15-yard penalty. And of course, we lost that game.
Excuse me. Wow. Yeah, okay. Both those games, I was surprised that, I mean, and that's the coaching as far as I can tell. Because no matter how bad they are in these divisions.
Well, I'll tell you, if Mike Tomlin ever gets himself another quarterback, he's going to be in first place all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know, Kenny Pickett, for God bless him, he is looking just good enough to keep there. Okay?
Yeah. And Trubisky,
Trubisky sucks.
Yeah.
If Trubisky didn't suck, he'd still be on the Bears.
Right. So, so Mason Rudolph is third string then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And quite frankly, and a lot of fucking Steelers fans and ex-players and everybody are saying, best quarterback on the fucking squad is Mason Rudolph.
I mean, he's got the height. He can throw the ball downfield. He might not
move real well, but he's got that problem, though. He's got that problem that happened against the Browns. Okay.
And he's got a problem using that word. Yeah. Okay.
And I could see Mike Tomlin saying, oh, that's what you like to do. No problem. Yeah, we're going to keep you. we're not going to fucking play you, but we're going to keep you.
We're going to keep you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, hey.
Jeff, what do you think? We got a chance Sunday.
I'm not going to root against the Browns, but if they play anything, look. I'm be honest with you. If Watson don't play, no, I do not think they have a chance. Because we have proven, because we haven't even attempted to even have a game plan that accentuates a different kind of back. We're attempting to throw in Hunt or Ford and basically run them like we run Chubb. Okay? And it ain't worked yet. And it is just they're
And it ain't gonna work because none of them guys are Chubb.
Right. And instead of like morphing something, it's actually showing the fact that we don't have the running line that everybody wants to say we do, and it's the reason why.
But we should be really concerned, guys. And you know why? Because there was some news I was looking to hear this past week, the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that the Browns had signed some offensive linemen from some fucking where.
Right.
And none. None. None.
Also true.
So, what happens if Joel Bitonio can't go?
Oh, God. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, well, he's officially listed as questionable. Or what is it? I'm sorry. He's day to day.
Oh, he's day to day. Okay.
Yeah. The injury report doesn't come out till tomorrow. But keep your eyes on that one. Cause man, if you see Deshaun Watson on that damn report as questionable and you see Bitonio on that report as questionable and you're going to see those things. Okay. It don't look good.
No, it doesn't.
So you're looking at what you're looking at as a Browns fan right now. Let's see. I'm going to pull this up again. We went through this the last time, but let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it every time. The Cleveland Browns schedule. All right. So we got the 49ers. Okay. So you lose that. You're 2-3. Then we have to travel to Indianapolis. Now their rookie quarterback is out. And you know, they're playing Gardner Minshew. And they just signed Kellen Mond to their practice squad, a guy we just cut.
Okay.
So that looks like now, but Gardner Minshew is no joke at quarterback, guys. Okay. And by the way, Jonathan Taylor is now healthy and active and playing for them. Okay. So there you go. That's the next one. But let's say you count that as a win. So the Browns are 3-3. Then you got to travel to Seattle and play the Seahawks in one of the hardest home fields to win in the NFL. Okay? Then the Cardinals come to town. And you should be able to beat Josh Dobbs and the Cardinals. Okay? Right. Then you got to go to Baltimore. And then you get to come back home and host the Steelers. Then, of course, now, let's say you win both of those games, okay? So now the Browns are 5-3. And you can actually rip a couple wins off here. You got the Broncos. You got to travel to Denver and go do it. But the Broncos are real beatable this year, right?
Right.
Then you got the Rams. Then you're staying out west, man. You get to go on. Jeez, and we're all the way in December then, you know. I don't know, man. I don't know. And then the Jaguars, well, then the Bears.
No, the schedule gets easier after the 49ers, though.
Oh, it does? I just told you we're playing the Colts, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Ravens, and the Steelers. That's your next four games. Five games, rather.
I mean, I'm not.
Where is it getting easier? I mean, again, Seahawks, Cardinals, you ought to be able to win that. The Colts, it's hard to say. Remember, okay, the Colts beat the Ravens, okay? They did what you couldn't do.
That's fucked up. Okay.
All right? Wow. And the Cardinals. Who did the Cardinals beat? The Cardinals upset the fuck out of somebody.
Hey, look, let's not forget the what's really messed up. Okay, we started the season off, beat the Bengals, right? The Bengals lose again. Then the Bengals beat the Rams. They take a big loss to the Titans, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Bengals fumble it right the hell up. But then they go beat the Cardinals. They have the Seahawks next week.
Uh-huh.
Say the Bengals beat the Seahawks, right? And now we're sitting here truly competing. And there's nobody left out in this division.
And I believe that's going to be
so. Bottom of the division. See, this is what I'm saying. Everybody's like, oh, well, the 49ers, and how can we really expect? No, we know you should expect them to win. Why? Because if the Browns don't win next week and the Bengals do, we are last place.
No shit. Who's the Bengals play?
They play the Seahawks.
They play the Seahawks.
We are last place, and we're how many games? This will be six games in, and we're last place. That's the season is done. I'm sorry. Most teams are – the season's done. You're packing it in. No, really.
Yep.
From being all excited if we lose that next week to the 49ers and the Bengals win, we're looking at the season being done.
They blew it. They shot their wad. They did it. They did it. They really did it. They really did
it. Like, it doesn't feel like it because it feels like it's so early and people are like, oh, we still got to. No, if we lose to San Francisco, you're looking at must win again. We're back to the situation.
I said this before the season started, guys. I said this before the season started, guys. I said, we got the early bye in week five. If we do not go into the bye 4-0 or 3-1, we're probably not going anywhere. If we're 2-2, if we're 500, if we're 500 or below after the first four games, we probably really don't have a shot.
And there's a huge difference between 2-2 and 2-3. It on paper it doesn't look but that's a huge difference.
No, but no, I'm telling you, 2-2 with 6 weeks gone. Okay. All right. The problem is, it's the schedule. The problem is, it's the schedule. Okay?
And we had a medium schedule. We don't have a hard schedule.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I got the 49ers coming into town. Proves you wrong. Okay?
Dude, I'm telling you, what they've been talking about the Browns schedule is we have a middle of the
road. I don't care who they are and what they've been talking about. They're just wrong. Okay? Yeah, you got three games. I got three games after the 49ers that look on paper like the Browns should be able to win it. And that's Colts, Seahawks, Cardinals. After that, dude, it's Ravens, Steelers.
Boy, you better do it, man.
What I'm telling you is all those pundits that are saying that are forgetting what's not being calculated. And I said this in our first podcast, our second podcast after we beat the Bengals. Yeah, we beat the Bengals, and yeah, we're all like trouncing on the Bengals. The Bengals could do what they did last season, okay? And all of a sudden, they're 500, and they're looking like they're the team that they were the year before, and they're just going to start winning games. And that quite possibly could happen again this season. And when that happens, okay, then we're in the toughest division in the league. So there's no pundit that can go, we've got a middle of the world schedule. And when you're in the toughest division in the league, you can't. That's an impossibility, because that means every time you're not, you play a divisional game, it's like.
By the way, there's obvious games on this schedule you ought to win, but let's just give. Okay, the Browns have two wins now. I'm going to count every game that we're supposed to win. Okay, just outright supposed to win. Okay, that's the Colts, that's the Seahawks, that's the Cardinals. Okay, so that's two, that's and three, that's five wins. Okay, you don't count Ravens or Steelers because there's no supposed to there, and not on paper. Okay, that's a hard fought game and anybody could win it. Okay, the Broncos. Okay, so that's six wins. Okay, the Rams, don't know because it's in LA and, you know, Stafford's playing well. You can't just count that one. You can't just count the Jaguars anymore either. You can probably count the Bears, so that's seven wins. Okay, you can, and I hate to say this, but technically you should be able to count the Texans, but the way CJ Stroud and the Texans have been playing, I don't know. But let's count it. That's eight wins. And hell, let's count the fucking Jets. At nine wins, okay? And then you close the season out going to Cincinnati to play those Bengals. Who you beat opening week? You think you're making the playoffs with nine wins out of the AFC? It's not happening.
See, here's my thing. What people aren't understanding, the Browns are mid-schedule, blah, blah, blah. They have to win the games, okay? As much as somebody wants to make it seem we really do not have a schedule with just chump pushover wins. We don't have it. Okay. And the bane of the existence of the Browns, when people are always talking about schedule, okay, because no matter how our division looks every year, it is one of the toughest divisions every year, no matter what, just about. The teams in our division play. Okay. They play. They don't take. There's no games off. If the Browns were in the NFC East, we would not be the team we are. I'm just saying that. That's just for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd already won a division. We'd already have a divisional championship. Okay, if we played in the NFC East. Okay, but we don't. We play where we do, and that's where why. Even when the Steelers are bad, okay, they'll win the division if you don't come to play.
I keep hearing that our division is the toughest division, and honestly, up until this point, I can't tell.
How can you not tell? It's always competitive. The Steelers are bad this year, and they could still win the division.
They're not winning like the Bengals. I mean, they won one game. The Bengals, the Ravens. I mean, I'm just saying they're splitting, winning.
Listen to me. Okay, no, I want to prove Jeffrey's point for you.
They have clear problems with their teams.
Let me prove.
And they still win.
Let me prove Jeffrey's point. The Steelers are in first place in this division with a point differential of 79 points for and 110 against. Literally flip. The Ravens have 109 points for and 75 against. But by beating those Ravens, the Steelers lead this division. This division is the most competitive in football.
If you'd asked anybody in the NFL right now their opinion on the Steelers, they'd just have to tell you they play hard, man. Because there's nothing about their roster that says that they're good. There's not anything. The Ravens are missing their star running back, just like we are.
Yep.
Okay. We're sitting here 2-2. Yet for all intents and purposes, if we have Watson right now and you put any team against us in the league, they tell you, well, you better go win that game. Do you think anybody in the league is going to have Joe Burrow in front of you and tell you don't have to go win that game? We have the toughest division in this league. Even when these teams are bad, you have to come play them. Yeah, there's no pushover game in our division. If you play anybody out of this division, you have to play them. And that's why the Browns year after year don't win the division. Why? Because when they play their divisional games, they have to play them.
And listen, guys,
The Patriots work with a playing guy. The Jets, the Bills playing the Jets, used to be the Dolphins. There's no right. pushover games. There's none.
I work with a guy that's a 49ers fan. And I don't want to have to go into work Monday and listen to his shit.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Take the day off.
He's like, I mean, the other day, we're taking all comers. We're taking all comers. Just bring them on. We'll beat them. You know, in week two, week three, I'm able to talk shit. We got the number one defense in the league, dude. You can't come to Cleveland and think you're going to beat us. Well, maybe you can. Well, maybe shit.
Well, I mean, you can take this point, right? Browns fans forever will tote on the fact that, you know, yeah, you know, but we play the Ravens tough. You know, we might suck, but they got to come beat us. So you don't think. I mean, does that dawn on you a little bit? How hard this division actually plays each other?
Right.
Yeah.
Every division game, every single one of these teams in this division feel like if they play each other, they're going to win. Well, I can't say that about any other division. Do you think in the AFC South, all the teams are like, yeah, man, the Jaguars could win all them games they play against everybody, and that's always how it's been? No. Okay, there's in that division, the AFC North, you put against any teams, everybody knows all those teams, everybody's got to come to play and win that game. There's no pushover games in that division. That is I don't get how anybody could almost get. No, there are some divisions that you could have arguments maybe tougher than ours. Yeah. But could you at any point, could somebody say ours is the weakest division? I don't think in the past 10 years, even with the Browns and the Bengals being bad, you could say we had it wasn't one of the tougher divisions. Our bad teams didn't even, you know what I mean? They still put more fight up than some of the bad teams. Well, maybe some years the Browns were bad enough.
Do you know how notoriously cheap the Bengals are? I mean, the fact that they actually have a roster that's doing what it's doing is fucking amazing, because they're like the cheapest team in the fucking NFL. They don't sign their own. They let players walk. And somehow or another, even with a porous fucking offensive line, they keep winning and getting back to the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. The other thing is, most other teams, when they have a clear deficiency that they could possibly debilitating. Okay, they don't play well. They're bad. They're a bad team. You got the Broncos with paper mache front line for Joe Burrows. In the past 2 years, they've been in the playoffs, and it's shown that they have paper mache line. Right. They were in the Super Bowl with a paper mache offensive line, and it looked like it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get better. They didn't hype up and get better because they got to the Super Bowl. They looked bad in that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, guys. We're going on and on, and we're not getting anywhere. It ain't making the Browns any better.
No, it's not.
Any predictions for Sunday?
My prediction is it's hard for me to make a like score prediction, because they have to win the game. That's right. How I really do feel. I really do feel next week is a must win, even though they're 2-2. Yes, I know the Browns are 2-2. They played one less game than everybody else.
But they got
blah,
to keep
blah,
pace.
Blah, 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 blah. But if you fall behind in last place, and I think this is more predicated on if the Bengals win. I think we get a little more leeway if the Bengals lose and we lose, but it's still bad. Okay.
Right.
But if the Bengals win and we lose, I don't see it happen.
Well, I got the Browns by 3 points in a nail biter where, and believe it or not, a low scoring game.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I agree with that. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. And I think we win by a little more than 3 points. I'm going to call it 21. Is 21 still low scoring?
if that's the winning score.
Yeah, 20. I was going to say 21-14. That's my fantasy score, my realistic score.
I got us winning 13-10. Okay. All right. When I said low scoring, I mean low scoring, and that means you basically the defense does its job and basically stops the San Francisco offense, and it becomes defensive, and it's the defense that scores, and the Browns are going to break that nut. I am not dependent on the Browns offense to do shit on Sunday.
Hey, I just noticed something.
What?
And I'm pretty sure I'm right on this because we're darn near the lowest in both categories. We have some of the lowest points for in the league. Now, obviously, we played one less game.
Right.
Okay. And we have some of the lowest
points against.
Yes. We're like the opposite of the Dolphins.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
who are like who are like number one in points for and like right up there almost number.
Yeah. Yeah. And points against too. Yeah. We're the exact opposite. Yes.
Yeah.
And here's the bad part. Here's the bad part. If you're the Browns and you make the playoffs, you probably have to play those fucking Dolphins.
Yeah. Well,
no doubt. Thing. We can do it.
Yeah, well, somebody's going to have to play those Dolphins.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to walk us on out the door on that. Okay. It's been another episode of TBF, a Browns fans podcast, an exercise in mental instability, because you can't be stable when you're trying to root for this team, because even when the chips are all stacked right and the cards are dealt right, the whole card never comes, guys. It just never comes. Oh, but that's okay, because next week, we're going to be talking about a win over the 49ers. The improbable win. The win that puts the Browns back on the map with the pundits. Talking about NFL, speculating the season. We're going to figure back into the conversation. We'll no longer be the sad sack Browns, because a week off makes people forget about you. But Myles Garrett and the defense, they're going to take the field and show you what it means.
Exactly.
In the meantime, the in-between time, and until it's that time, and what time's that? Time for you and me to get together and talk about a win over the 49ers. This is Paul, Hugh, and Jeff for TBF, a Browns fans podcast, saying we're out.
Basement Tapes Productions. Yeah.